You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Lawrence keeps it again. Dives, touchdown. What a start for Jacksonville. They back out of it. Flag on the play. Pass is caught. Uzama, touchdown. 35-yard try. Bengals have never led tonight. Until now. Cincinnati wins it 24-21, and the rookie is hoisted for the second time.
There was a moment in the middle of the fourth quarter on Thursday Night Football where Troy Aikman tried to put it all into perspective. What he was watching between the Jacksonville Jaguars and Cincinnati Bengals. And he made this comment, which on the surface was, you know, tossed off. But if you really thought about it, it said a lot. Troy Aikman, three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, said of Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, they're going to be the faces of the NFL for a long time. That is the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals and the Jacksonville Jaguars, respectively. And that is not to be slept on. And that was what I was thinking after the Cincinnati Bengals got the field goal straight through the uprights. By the way, you know I love the kicker club around here, Ricky. This kid, Evan McPherson, can play. And I know he missed early, but he drilled one in a big spot. That's his second game-winning kick in 3 and 4 weeks to start his career. 24-21, Bengals outlast the Jaguars in a very loud Cincinnati building, a building that was lousy with Wesslings, who, by the way, Ricky, locked it up in a big spot. Even though Nick Wessling, halfway through the first quarter, sending out texts and tweets, burying his own brothers. I love it. I love it, Ricky.
And walking it back.
I love it because...
Amazing.
Chris Wessling, I don't know if he can hear it or see it. We don't know how all that works. But Chris Wessling would get such a kick out of the Wessling brothers, his brothers, turning on each other week after week with this lock game. It's so perfect. It's so Wessling brother. It's so Cincinnati. And speaking of Cincinnati a little bit later, one of the shining suns of the Queen City is going to join us. This was a game that the Jaguars were in control of. This was a game that the Jaguars were up 14-0 in the second quarter and driving. It was a mausoleum, Paul Brown Stadium, at that point. The Jacksonville Jaguars were at the goal line. Trevor Lawrence, who really, I thought, was impressive in this game. Joe Burrow is going to get the headlines, but I really thought Lawrence made big strides in his fourth start. Pushes forward, just comes short of the goal line. Turnover on downs. So it could have been 21-0 with a minute to play in the second quarter. Instead, Cincinnati takes over. They essentially run out the clock. And then a third quarter begins, and the game switches. It flips. And it's because Burrow got hot. And they go down the field. They make it 14-7. They get a stop. They go down the field again. Joe Mixon, one-yard touchdown run after Burrow's QB sneak TD got called back correctly. CJ Uzama making play after play after play. My goodness. It's 14-14. But to Trevor Lawrence's credit, to the Jacksonville Jaguars' credit, this was not going to be like last week where they got the big Jamal Agnew kickoff return or the field goal attempt that was gathered in the back of the end zone and then rushed 109 yards back the other way. And you're thinking, oh, maybe the Jags have a chance to upset Arizona, and then they get blown out of the building for the rest of that game. No, this time, again, progress for Urban Meyer's team. They go down the field. They march 11 plays, 77 yards in 5 minutes and 43 seconds, capped by James Robinson's four-yard touchdown run. A lot of big conversions by Trevor Lawrence there. But the Cincinnati Bengals come right back. A really good game. A lot of good primetime games so far this season. And again, it's Burrow leading the charge. 10 plays, 75 yards. Now Joe Mixon's on the sideline with a minor ankle injury, we're told, by Zach Taylor, who all of a sudden doesn't look so bad because his team's 3-1. Zach Taylor maybe has a face now. CJ Uzama, again, catches the ball in the flat on an all-out blitz by the Jaguars and takes it to the house. Touchdown, 21-21. Jags get the stop, or the Bengals get the stop. And again, another big Uzama catch. Sets them up for the field goal. McPherson puts it through, 24-21. And yes, just a big win for the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 3-1. That is notable. That's a big deal in Cincinnati, because you think about what happened with Joe Burrow in his rookie year when you saw the flashes there for the number one overall pick, but he couldn't get protected, and he took too many hits, and then he got his knee absolutely shredded in, I believe it was November, and then a very difficult rehab for not just, as Aikman said during the telecast, this was not just a popped ACL, this was a shredded knee. No one knew if he was going to be ready. A lot of bad camp reports about him and Ja'Marr Chase and everybody else connected to Cincinnati. But none of that matters, because the summer doesn't matter in the NFL. And I don't know why. Ricky, I don't even know why we do a podcast. Yeah. I really don't know why we do it in the summer. Because we got to see what happens when it counts. And the Cincinnati Bengals are going to enter October in first place in the AFC North.
Wow.
Well, this feels like a good time to bring in our guest.
Wild.
What's that sound, by the way?
Hmm.
Wait a second. Is it time to head to the desert? Is it time to welcome in the consigliere? And I know that he's not actually in the desert right now. But that doesn't mean he's not the Wessling Brothers Desert Consigliere and proud Queen City native, Spice Rack. Welcome, boy. Buddy. Buddy boy.
Happy to be aboard. I see, buddy. You got the no Greg, by the way. Obviously, we know what's going on with Mark.
Right. No Greg. You don't get Greg. You got me and Ricky, and I hope that's okay, Spicey.
It's fine by me. You know, who am I to turn down any of these options? But whoa.
Spicy,
can you hear me? What's going on here?
We hear you great, Spicy. Tell me about where you watch this game. Tell me everything about it. Let's start there. Where was Spice Rack watching the Bengals, not the Bungles?
I don't
the 3-1 Bengals.
I got too much gray hair to be cool, and I'm way too much of a maniac to like really watch sports almost with anybody else. So
you're solo soaking it in. How did it feel? What are you thinking right now? Take me through it.
Well, I mean, listen, there's not a lot of feelings in, you know, as far as being a sports fan and knowing you landed a stud at quarterback. There's a different feeling about it. If you think back 8-10 years ago, the Bengals had as deep a roster as anyone in the NFL. They had a Super Bowl roster with a wild card quarterback. I mean, that's how I always viewed them. I never even took them that seriously. But, I mean, just studs in their prime for days with A.J. Green and Whitworth. And, you know, the secondary was loaded. Geno Atkins and Dunlop. They were stacked. But they had a quarterback who you knew had a ceiling. And everything, yeah, and everything would have had to be perfect to just get there. And it's just different with Joe Burrow, for sure.
And that's how spicy, that's how I opened up the show, just kind of an offhanded remark by Aikman midway through the fourth quarter.
Troy Aikman,
yes, the number one overall pick out of UCLA, the Hall of Famer. They're going to be the faces of the NFL for a long time. He was referring to a Cincinnati and a Jacksonville quarterback. And I think that's notable because Jacksonville has even though they've only been around since 95 and they came out of the gates hot with Brunel and they had a nice run with Brunel. It's been pretty rough since then. And we know the history of Cincinnati QBs. Carson Palmer, and you know it's spicy, just like Wes knew it, was special, but fate intervened there. Now Now you have Burrow, and fate intervened potentially last season too. And you're thinking to yourself, when that knee literally explodes within his body, oh my God, is it happening again? But now Spicy, you're thinking to yourself, we survived that. That gut punch, and this guy is the real deal.
You know, definitely seems like we survived it. There's not that year after the injury that just makes things dicey moving forward. I mean, it's pretty clear he's a keeper on all fronts. But it's still, you know, we're looking at last year was wasted. This year, I still feel like there's a ceiling on the team. And when you talk about modern NFL, those teams that really hit are when, you know, like what the Bills have now, what the Seahawks had with Russell Wilson, you know, they got that roster that's stacked the quarter. I realize Allen is now, you know, he signed a big contract, but still, that roster was built when he was still in that rookie contract.
Talking about that rookie clock, right?
Yeah, and so you know, we're already looking at. Obviously, this isn't a wasted year by any stretch, but I'm not a big fan of Zach Taylor. The roster is very limited, and regardless, I just look at this as a year of as long as Burrow gets through it. You know, that's all I could ask for—a wild card appearance, something like that—would be great. But just watching this guy play is, you know, it offers hope. I mean, that's what sports are all about, especially in a small market, which
absolutely,
you know, being in New Yorker, you understand.
Yeah. Well, I understand what it's like to go decades looking for a quarterback. Jokes. But brutal. You are in the hope business again. You are our college guy. We lean on you, Spicy,
expert,
to give us
expert.
That. You're the expert. You are peerless in that. Well, peerless within the structure of our podcast.
Peerless is right. Oh, I don't know. Worldwide. But
what did you think about Trevor Lawrence as well? Because, you know, I remember probing what your thoughts on Lawrence ahead of the draft. And I think you spoke very highly of him as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I felt like they both really showed a lot in this game.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence is, his talent jumps off the chart. I'm sure for the coaches who have done all the individual workouts of every big guy going back. I mean, his probably stands out, above almost any other guy. You saw his athleticism today. You saw that great throw to the, you know, left sideline, you know, 25, 30 yards, about triple covered. He's spectacular. He's a can't miss. I really am trying to get a feel for his personality. He seems pretty much like a robot. Obviously, he's done nothing but win his whole career and all that. And, you know, the measurables, they speak for themselves. I got to tell you, regarding his athleticism and his, you know, his ability, his talent, Urban Meyer, what are we talking about here, Zeus? You got fourth and goal from the inch line.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence has already probably run for 30 or 40, you know, impressive type yards already in the game, showing his athleticism. I mean, he's 6'5", he's a strong guy. You can't just fall forward an inch. You have to run the triple option.
Yeah,
like Greg, that swung the whole game tonight. Yeah. That swung the whole game. But overall, I'm a big fan of Lawrence. Personality-wise, he actually kind of reminds me of Carson Palmer. Talent undeniable, but kind of wooden. You know, I mean, it's not all the way of a criticism, but Joe Burrow, you know who he is right away, just with body language, with interaction with teammates, and not comparing the two just on that front, but you know what? Overall, give me a guy like Burrow.
It's funny that we Palmer's come up a couple times here because Lawrence is a good comp in a lot of ways. Like Palmer and Lawrence both were probably golden, you know, child type prodigies when they were chosen years old.
The chosen one, absolutely.
And they aren't going to carry themselves with the type of maybe charisma of a Joe Burrow who has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. His college path was a little rockier. Sure. A Baker Mayfield, another transfer type guy that had
walk on.
And you see the way those guys that kind of informs their personalities as well. And I brought it up on the podcast like a week ago, but I'll bring it up again. One of my favorite assignments I ever got sent on for NFL media was to cover the premiere of All or Nothing. When the Cardinals were the first season of that. And I got to go with my buddy Jay to the green room where all the players and Bruce Arians, and it was such a star-studded team, that 2015 Panthers squad. And Carson Palmer just chilling at the bar with a Bud Heavy. And even though he's maybe wooden from our perspective, when you're there, the way there's just something about him. He's one of the guys. And I think that Lawrence has that same thing, and it's still young. We have no idea where this is going to go, but he kind of has an aura to him, I think. I think Lawrence is really special. And if you're a Jaguar fan listening right now and you're super bummed because you're 0-4, and this was a stomach punch loss, obviously, because you felt like you had it, better days are ahead. Urban Meyer, maybe you can be nervous about him, but, man, you have Trevor Lawrence in the building.
Exactly. Once you land that quarterback, you're good. I mean, you know, for the most part, if you get that guy – you're good. And that just changes everything. It changes your view, you know, from around the league, prospective free agents. You know, all of a sudden you're able to get these vets on a 1-year deal that still have a lot left in the tank. And that Jacksonville's nowhere close to that yet, but they have their guy. There's no doubt.
Hey, Spicy.
No,
I was just going to say, because because we value your takes. Anybody else from the game today that kind of jumped off the screen a little bit to you? Somebody you're excited to see more of? What about the tight end?
Uzama.
Do you think that was one of those primetime like flashes in the pan, or if this is a guy to really keep an eye on?
He's rock solid. He's always actually been a pretty good receiver of the ball and like a willing blocker, from what I understand. I'm not exactly breaking down film, but he only moves so fast, and he's plenty serviceable, but he's nothing to get too excited about.
Anybody else from the game that you wanted to throw out something on before we say goodbye?
I mean, you don't want my takes on like Colleen Wolf or East Coast Bias or Zach Taylor. I got stuff written down.
I mean, we won't hear anything critical of Connie, if that's what you're getting at. But any other thoughts is good.
I mean, she didn't return my complimentary DM. If you call that criticism.
Do you have any idea how many random white men are DMing Colleen Wolf? I mean,
she's got to follow you to DM. This is my friend. We have an established friendship. Honestly,
he should understand that, though, right? Spicy has to understand that Colleen's her DMs.
I'm a big fan.
Exist on a plane that none of us can quite grasp.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, it is unlike anything you could imagine.
Should have seen the Ricky DM. Ricky sent me an absurd DM that involved. I can't even say it. Kids could be listening. I mean, Erica's getting killed too sometimes.
I'm sure. No, it's brutal for the ladies. I'm sure this what Dan's referring to, Ricky, is sent from a gentleman, not a gentle lady. Yes. Yeah, guys are the worst.
And it wasn't killing Ricky.
The worst.
Something else. But
rude, crude, whatever. Guys are the worst.
Colleen's a pro. Go ahead. Anything else before we say goodbye, Spicy? How are you, by the way?
Colleen is a pro. I am well. How are you?
Good.
I threatened Ricky before this to not play that carousel music this time.
He did.
And she I gotta tell you, I thought she was not so cowardly. I thought she'd play it still, but she's living up to it. Ricky. No, I don't know.
Please tell me you have that teed up right now. What are we doing if you don't?
I don't know.
Wouldn't do that.
Zeus, let me ask you, how ridiculous do you think it is that 5 years after his playing career, Nick Mangold's on Bud Light Seltzer commercials?
Nick Mangold.
That's East Coast bias in a way. But okay. The center for the New York Jets from 5 years ago, or whatever it is. This is way worse than when Justin Tuck was on a Subway commercial. Way worse.
You're a little bit in your Midwest bubble or your bubble.
Well, Nick Mangold's from right up the road here, Centerville, Ohio.
So what are you talking about? Did you track his college career? Did you track
Hey, he was a critical member of the 2002 Ohio State Buckeyes. Go, Ricky.
This is a clown take to come after Mangold because he got some scratch for a commercial.
I'm happy for him.
Put a big top over this take for Spicy.
You think the Mariners are going to beat out the Yankees for the wild card, -50 in run differential?
Listen, I don't know about that side of it, but I could tell you they just went to Boston and Toronto and took 5 out of 6. So I'm feeling pretty good.
I know they're probably in, but
Seattle's probably going to come and get Boston, and Toronto's pretty much dead. So they will probably be at the Bronx on Tuesday night. When I'm on a plane to London with Ricky, I'm not excited about that. We're off the rails.
All right, Spicy. We are. All right.
Spicy, we love you. I really did. I'm happy to hear from you.
How about this lighting? You got to love this lighting.
Nice. It's nice.
What I look like.
And thank you. And say hi to, if you run across any Westling brothers, I know that city's lousy with them. Say hi on our behalf.
Will do. Great talking, you guys.
Good job, Spicy.
Good appearance. Same to you, Ricky. All right.
You too.
Good appearance by Spicy. I liked it. I do like that he privately reached out to you about the circus music.
Let me read the text. You. If you play the carousel music again, we're going to fight, yo.
Oh, that's so good.
That's the text.
Oh,
I got
see, the
right
biggest mistake
it.
He made is letting us know that it bothers him. I wouldn't have even thought of it.
Me either.
But thank you.
Forgot about it.
The great Brad Spicer. He's a good dude. And it's a good day if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan. So that is it. That's where we're at. Real quick, Ricky, do you have any takes on the Super Bowl 56 halftime show? It was announced today. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar. Let me figure this out. Dre's from LA. Snoop, Long Beach. Come on now. Kendrick Lamar, South Central. Mary J., I'm not sure where Mary J. hails. Eminem's obviously Detroit, but he has the ties, of course, to Dre.
Mary J. Blige is from the Bronx.
Okay. Well, all right. But she's Mary J., so you want to get that element into it. That this is something to have a true hip-hop halftime show. As someone that used to have me cover this event, I used to go to the press conferences on Thursday of Super Bowl week or Friday of Super Bowl week. This is something that they were reticent to go down this path, and that was always, to me, not the way to go because hip-hop is the dominant musical form in popular culture in America, and the Super Bowl is America's day in terms of pop culture. So I think this is smart and good. I'm looking forward to it, and all these artists have bangers. That's my take. What's yours?
Yeah, exactly. At first, when I was like racking my brain, I was like, okay, LA, they'll maybe go hip hop because, like you said, it's been trending that way for a long time. And they've been, frankly, you know, behind the times and they caught up, which was great. But I was like, could Snoop Dogg like hold a halftime show? I'm like, would they really do that? I don't know. And then even Kendrick Lamar, like, is that big enough name for, you know, some of the flyover states and stuff like that? Not, you know, saying
you're not
going to
win over the flyover
there.
States totally, like, but
right. But I was like, so what are, who's going to hold? But then when they announced them all together, I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. Like, it's going to be so sick. And during the halftime, if you guys catch it, if you go back and watch, you know, Colleen tonight on TNF, and she tossed it to Dre and Snoop, who did a little, you know, like 2 minute sort of interview. Really cool checking it out. And it got me hyped.
All right, good. All right, so we're both on the same page with this. And I don't even have to ask Greg. I don't have to wait till Tuesday to talk with us because Greg famously
stoked.
Likes rap. So that's good. So there you go. And the NFL, they had kind of backed themselves into a bit of a corner where it seemed like you had to find this huge universal artist, and that usually meant older rock band, and that's just not where things are right now rock music doesn't have a grip on the culture like it once did, and they've already gotten all the classic rockers, and besides, a lot of like the classic rock acts are kind of being phased out by Father Time now. So this makes sense. Just make it, if it's, make it a pop show, a pop spectacle. And by the way, Ricky, just get Taylor Swift next year.
I was just going to say this. Don't overthink it. You know what I'm thinking? I'm like, okay, Taylor Swift, she's re-recording all of her albums. She just announced today that she's re-recording Red, and it's going to be coming out soon. She's owning all her own music, Dan. What if all of a sudden Taylor has her whole collection re-recorded that she owns? I mean, this is trending to something huge. You just wait.
You got a little too excited that Taylor Swift, who has about $7 billion in the bank, now that she owns all her own music, she'll have $9 billion in the bank.
Well, it's a big deal that she's taking control back, you know, from Scooter.
That's good.
Braun.
That's all power to the, yep, to the artist, not the
conglomerate. But watch. You just watch. Like, there was some Pepsi, Coca-Cola, you know, but that's off the table now. Taylor Swift, I've got a good feeling, Dan.
All right, good. It's coming. That'll be nice. That'll be fun. Where is the Super Bowl next year? I can't remember.
Arizona, Phoenix.
We got to go. We're almost 25 minutes in.
Yeah, this is
to New Orleans. Perfect. Okay. all right. Good stuff. Thank you to everybody for listening. By the way, again, we will be in London next week, and later in the week, we want to see you guys. So head over to the Around the NFL subreddit. It's very easy to find. If you've never been on Reddit, just type in on the Google machine Around the NFL Reddit. That should handle it. And you'll have some information that might be of interest to you if you live in England and the surrounding territories. That's all.
Yep. Just keep an eye out. Or, just keep an eye out. That's all.
Play me out with that Desert Consigliere. That's what it's known as. Some people say, oh, yeah, that's the Godfather theme. No. It's the Spice Rack. Come on back Sunday night for the flagship show. Until then, heed the call. That's my Brando. Needs work.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.